Turning your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. There's a question that we will hear undoubtedly many times between now and December 25th. And I may be the first that is saying it, but here's the question. So, are you ready for Christmas? And that a question that we get asked so often. And I suppose, what are they asking when they ask that question? You know, are your decorations up? Is your shopping done? Has that begun? Have you sent out your cards? And today it's often emails. Are you ready for Christmas? All those things. And as we think of decorations, how many of you got your decorations up? Let me see your hand. Got your decorations up? Wow, good. Excellent. And shopping done? Wow, I'm impressed. Certainly begun, a number of you. Good, excellent job. As you look around and see the beautiful decorations in our church, I'm so thankful for Pastor Matt's team, and they've worked, put in hours of what you see and what we enjoy, and so appreciate them working hard that we just once again are reminded of this blessed time of year. And the truth is, it is a busy time of year. We meet ourselves coming and going. It's the Christmas rush, we call it. At times it gets hectic. And too often I think we forget the reason for the season and our busyness and our rushing around. And I've shared a story with some of you, but it does illustrate at times how we can get too busy. And the story is about a little girl who just observed the busyness of Christmas. And her mom and dad just scurrying around and doing things, and it seemed like she was just being pushed aside. Dad was busy with decorations and chores and other things that mom had given him a list to do. Mom was busy with the bacon, the preparations for the parties and presents, and just on and on it went. And it just felt like to her, and she even sensed the words, just stay out of the way. And so one night in December, she just knelt down and prayed the prayer, Heavenly Father, forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. And that may be a prayer of contrition that we pray this season if we forget what this season is all about. And so when I ask the question, are you ready for Christmas? I'm asking about more than your activities. I'm really asking about your attitude about this time of year. Because sometimes we do forget what it's all about. And the song that Don just sang is what it's all about. Christmas says that God became a man, came to earth, lived among us. We beheld his glory. He set an example for us. He died for us that we might have life. But what are the attitudes we are supposed to have at this time of year? And how can we be careful that we don't get unbalanced to what we're doing and forget those that are really important? Too often we allow the busyness of the season to bring stress into our lives. And think about the potential things that can add stress to this time of year, like the shopping for gifts and the scheduling the holiday parties and putting up the decorations. And I love that. I really do. And I was finishing up near the end of the week, and it was getting at dark. And every year when I put the lights on, I kind of like to have that moment of, here it is. And so I call out Janet, and normally I ask her to do a drum roll so that we can put the lights on. Well, I went out, and I was waiting for her, and she wasn't coming out. But two of my neighbors were walking down the street, and they stopped, and they says, oh, it looks so pretty. And I said, yeah, I'm waiting for my wife to give me a drum roll. Well, they gave me a drum roll right there. And so I lit it without her. But it can be stressful if you begin doing that and then the lights aren't working and they're tangled and it's just so much happening. And then, of course, if you're married, you have to plan where you're going to spend the holidays without offending one side of the family or the other side of the family. Gaining weight is a part of the season that we just face as well. Christmas programs for the kids at school, at church, then forgetting someone whom you should have purchased a gift for, and you realize it. Facing relatives you don't get along with. Spending Christmas alone
is stressful. Christmas lights that don't work. They were working when you put them on. That's how it happened to me. I put them on the tree. Everything was working. I always check them before they go on. And then I put them on and, wait, something's wrong here. That's stressful. And then as the year comes to an end and you recognize, now I have to pay for all this, that adds stress as well. And so many, many, many things add stress to this season. And when you think of that, think what it does to your body. Webster's definition of stress is the physical pressure, the pull, or other force exerted on one thing by another. And in one word, it's strain. Strain is added to our lives. And when we realize that stress is in itself maybe not a bad thing, because it is the body's alarm system, it tells us that we're experiencing something and we can react to that. Truth is, if you don't respond to stress in a correct way, it can kill you. It can cause a heart attack. So stress can come from anything that annoys you, threatens you, prods you, excites you, scares you, worries you, hurries you, angers you, frustrates you, challenges you, criticizes you, anything that reduces your self-esteem. Stress is upon us. You may be experiencing some symptoms from stress, like frequent headaches, stiffness in your neck, irregular heartbeats, getting dizzy or lightheaded, suffering from colds or flu or hoarseness, indigestion, nausea, discomfort, difficulty falling or staying asleep, waking up feeling tired, cold hands and cold feet, excess perspiration, anger and irritability. Did I leave anybody out? These are the symptoms of stress, and we all experience it. And the bottom line is the holiday season, Christmas time, can produce that. And so you may have heard more than you wanted to hear today, and this is more than you bargained for. And what is the point of it all? The point is, this is reality. We're going to experience stress this coming year. And as we consider that, there's a cost of losing focus. And we want to be sure that we're focusing on the right things. And here in Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells a story about a gathering that was stressful. And I think we can learn some things from this story as he helps us to understand keeping the main thing the main thing. What is really important? Read with me in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a city, or a certain village rather, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Would you pray with me and ask God's blessing on his word? Father, we are a busy people, and we need to pause at times and think of, Lord, what is really important? And especially at this time of year, your coming, your love for us, your grace. Father, thank you for dying on our behalf, giving your son that we might have life. And help us, Lord, as we consider this story and the things that brought stress on Martha's life. May we be cautioned as we move forward and once again keep you as our main focus. In Christ's name. Amen. So in Luke chapter 10, Jesus has been discussing with a Jewish religious leader the two great commandments. And as he does, he talks about loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then loving our neighbor as ourself. And he uses the Good Samaritan to discuss how we are to love our neighbor. And now he uses the story of Martha and Mary of how we are to love God. Story takes place in the village of Bethany, which is located just outside of Jerusalem. And from that, we glean from this portion of Scripture as well as John chapters 11 and 12, Martha lived with her sister Mary and her soon-to-be-famous brother Lazarus. And it appears that Martha's a widow, for she's the head of the household. And here in the home of Martha, Mary and Lazarus, Jesus and his disciples, sit down for a time of relaxation, being away from the press and just being among friends and being able to enjoy that fellowship. And so both sisters are truly delighted to see him. But as you will see, they both demonstrate it in different ways. And in verse 38, we are told that Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. But it's interesting, as we look at the text, it was Mary that welcomed him into her heart. And there's a difference here in how they are serving the Lord. And have you ever noticed how different people, they have varying temperaments? Some are very active, very busy. They're just on the go constantly. You have people around you like that. Some of you are like that. Some of you are more thinking. You enjoy sitting and thinking through something. And you're able to just pause and appreciate the moment of what is happening. And I think sometimes we wrongly contrast the two, as if we have to choose, all right, will I be a Martha or a Mary? And really, that's not the point at all of what is being done here. I think we really need to consider being a worker like Martha and worship like Mary. And I think that's the point Jesus is trying to bring here. There's a balance. Mary's content to sit at Jesus' feet, soaking up the word, and not do anything. Martha recognizes there's a need, and so she gets busy. And she was a great hostess, no question about that. She recognized something needs to be done here. And more than likely, she thought, what a privilege to be able to serve a meal to the master. Mary, on the other hand, probably was thinking, what a privilege to sit at the master's feet and hear his word. So is there one wrong and one right? I don't think so. I think it's really understanding what was taking place here. Duty and devotion are both necessary, but there must be that balance. And every action, every relationship, every institution has a basic focus if they are going to succeed. And if you lose focus on your purpose, you will fail. And I think to some degree that was the case for Martha. She lost focus, and it was going to cost her. And the first thing we see as we look at this story is that loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity. Look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Now, you ladies can certainly understand what it's like to prepare for an unexpected visitor. And suddenly she's faced with getting things done. And verse 40 tells us she was distracted with much serving. And I think the sense of the word has the idea that she was pulled away. She was dragged away. She wanted to worship Jesus. She wanted to hear his word. But she saw the need. And some of you are like that. You recognize something has to be done, and something else gets put on hold. She had a sense of duty, and she was fretting about the meal, but unfortunately it robbed her of the joy of Jesus being in our home. Certainly we should take our responsibilities seriously, and unfortunately at times we overestimate our importance. We think if we don't get this done, it's not going to get done. No one else can do it. It's really not the case, and too often it puts us in a bad way. We need that balance between going and doing and sitting and listening. Now, please beware of, if you're someone that is a sitter and just thinks that's the important thing to be doing, not serving but sitting, we have a lot of sitters doing nothing. We need servers. We need people being involved. We need people doing. And once again, that's the emphasis of the text here. Doing what we can, serving as we should. Too often we can become so busy with the everyday things that we neglect the most important things. Many of you are probably overworked. Many of you work too many hours already. Listen to what Stephen Conway says. He's the author of First Things First. He says, people expect us to be busy, overworked. It's become a status symbol in our society. If we're busy, we're important. If we're not busy, we're embarrassed to admit it. Busyness is where we get our security. It's validating, popular, and pleasing. It's also a good excuse for not dealing with the first things in our lives. Quite a warning. So listen, loss of focus caused Martha to resort to self-pity. And secondly, loss of focus caused Martha to become angry. Our world is full of distractions, and the more the pressure, the more tempting it is to focus on the urgent rather than the necessary. And I believe Martha once again wanted to honor the Lord. I think she began her work. People like this normally begin their work with the right attitude. I'm sure all of you ladies can identify with, and some of you guys cook as well. But think about the holiday that we just came from, Thanksgiving, and how you begin that with the right attitude. And you want to please your guests. You want to bless your family. But suddenly what happens? You get behind your schedule. And when that happens, you get angry with yourself first because you let it get to that point. You miss some time frame, and now you're in a fix. But then you know what happens next? You begin to think, well, who else can help me with this? Who can pull some weight here and carry this load and get this done? And so then you become angry with others. And Martha is like that here. The harder she worked, the more worked up she became. Some people burn out. Martha burnt up, and she was frustrated, and she felt my sister could make a difference here. Charles Hummel, in his book, Freedom from the Tyranny of the Urgent, notes, tension and frustration mount when we are performing the wrong tasks or trying to cram too many of the right activities into a given period. A critical spirit develops, and we begin to judge and condemn others for what they do or don't do. Anytime you feel a wave of criticism gaining momentum in your spirit, remember that it's completely out of line as far as God is concerned. And so, loss of focus caused Martha to become angry at others, and then loss of focus caused Martha to find fault with others. Second part of verse 40 tells us Martha finally comes to that point where she's red-faced, she's angry, she's upset, and she tells the Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And you notice she's not even calling her by name. My sister. And don't we get frustrated like that sometimes? But truth is, in her defense, she probably has done everything she could do to get her attention. And Mary's not biting. She may be clearing her throat. She may be trying to get attention, moving in her focus. Mary's not looking at her. And she may have been even giving her that look. You know that look. I know that look. Sometimes I get that look from Janet. The eyes get wide and she's serious about something. And sometimes I give that look to children, my grandchildren, or get their attention. I don't know if Martha gave that look, probably did, but it wasn't working. I think Mary was willing to face the heat, to sit at the feet of Jesus because it was that important to her. Whatever the case may be, no one can force us to be devoted. It's a voluntary decision. And so loss of focus caused Martha to find fault with others. And then loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care. Isn't that interesting? She's mad at Mary for being selfish in her thought. And now she's mad at Jesus for allowing it to happen. And isn't that what Hebrews 12:15 reminds us of? Beware, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. That's why we have to be careful about that anger, that bitterness. Anger produces bitterness. Bitterness produces trouble in our lives and defilement in the lives around us. And that can happen at this time of year. So much going on, and many of you have that list. I have to take care of this. I have to get to that. And then you get upset with that time frame, and you begin to be less tolerant of your children, of your spouse, and you begin to rob the family from that joy that should be at this time of year. Interesting that she expresses her anger toward Mary, and then to the very one that all this preparation was supposed to be for. And isn't it true that sometimes we set out to do something good for someone, and somewhere along the way we get frustrated and we begin hurting that one that was supposed to be caring for and loving? Martha is accusing Jesus of not caring for her because she was sure that if Jesus really cared for her, he would make her sister help her. That's an interesting thought. We criticize others, we pity ourselves, and we feel overworked. And when that happens, it's time to stop and examine our lives and examine our activities. And it's interesting how Martha links Jesus' care for her with his willingness to tell Mary to get busy helping her. Martha thought she knew how Jesus should care for her. And I think we do that sometimes. We know that if Jesus would just do this, it really expresses his love. He knows I'm going through a difficulty with this situation. And if Jesus really cared for me, and you can fill in the blank, whatever it is in your life that you believe Jesus should be doing, and you're questioning his care of you, you've come to a place of lifting yourself up above God. Because God knows what we need, and he knows how to get our attention, and he knows to get us how to get us to a certain place of where he can minister to us and through us. And it's interesting that certainly she was concerned of what Mary was doing and worried too much about, really, instead of what she was doing, just how else can someone help me here? And I'm reminded of another portion of Scripture, and it's real interesting because Peter is hearing from the Lord about what his life is going to look like moving forward, and even how it would end in John chapter 21. And wouldn't you think if Jesus was speaking to you and he was telling you what is ahead for you and how your final days would be, wouldn't you just be like, wow, focused on what the Lord was saying and thinking through the implication of that? Well, you know what Peter did. He looked around and he says, well, what about him? Don't we do that oftentimes? Lord, what about them? They're not serving you as I'm serving you. Lord, what about those folks? They're not here today. I'm here. I'm greeting, serving, giving, doing all those things. What about them? And you know Jesus' response. Don't worry about them. Just follow me. Isn't that good advice for us? All year long, but especially at this time of year when perhaps we're concerned, what are others doing? Martha wanted to force Mary to serve Christ her way. And it wasn't God's way. So loss of focus caused Martha to question God's care. And then finally, loss of focus can be eliminated by remembering why we are doing what we're doing. Isn't that so important? Getting back to the basics. Why is God allowing us to do what we're doing? And in verse 41, Jesus responds to Martha. And he tells her, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. I love that. Jesus responds with such tenderness. He knows what the need is. He did not rebuke her for making preparations. He didn't tell her, you should be doing what Mary's doing. She had gifts. She had talents. She was using them. Martha's problem was not that she was preparing food for her guest. This was necessary. But she gave too much importance to it. And we do that as well. Do not let the necessary things that must be done get out of balance to distort our lives and our focus on the Lord. Martha's work was both good and necessary. And the reality is, as believers today, we should cultivate that spirit of a Martha. And we should be doing everything we can. But don't we need that spirit of Mary in pausing, as you are right now, sitting at the feet of Jesus, in a sense, and worshiping him? Someone has made the statement, if we forget God while serving God, we will probably quit God. When we keep our attitude right and find that God will then enable us to do what we need to be doing, but guess what? The joy will be there. The excitement will be there. You will feel blessed. You'll be blessed. You'll be blessed by doing and serving in that way. Taking time to be with Jesus in a busy season is essential. Keep it in your life. Keep it on the priority list as number one. I don't think Martha was wrong in opening up her heart, her home to Jesus. I think Mary just was more blessed because she opened up her heart. She wanted to worship him in truth and spirit. And as Jesus said, one did good, but the other did better. And isn't that what the Christian life is all about? Balance of duty and devotion. Listen, sitting without serving is powerless. Serving without sitting is directionless. But serving after sitting produces power and balance. Jesus was teaching the importance of keeping first things first. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then love others. Minister to others. Serve others. And so the question as we close is, what about you? Are you ready for Christmas? Do you have the right attitude? Is your focus on him? Or are you giving too much to the non-essentials, things that will be gone tomorrow? Comes January 2nd, January 3rd, decorations come down, life continues. But what happened in the wake of that? How have you hurt people? How have you been angry and separated your fellowship with God? God wants us to consider those things today. Have you been unkind to someone? If your anger has brought you to the place of expressing just distaste, dissatisfaction with your child, with your spouse, today's a good day to make it right. This is our first Sunday going into December, and we have a long month ahead of us. There are going to be many things happening. But as you go through it, shouldn't your spirit be such that you recognize the real meaning of Christmas? It's all about him. And if you keep your focus on him, good things are going to happen. In Luke 2:14, it says that on the night that Jesus was born, angels from heaven announced, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Don't let the celebration of the most peace-filled night in earth's history turn into the most stressful time of the year. Keep your focus on him.